This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack, but with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Watley on KLZ 560.
Good afternoon and welcome to Haystack Help Radio. Thank you so much for joining us today. Money beliefs versus money realities with our good friend Kyle Odell, OWRS firm. You can reach Kyle for a free consultation, 303-780-7350. Again, that's 303-780-7350. Kyle, welcome to April, bud.
All right. Ready to go.
Here we go. Man, it's hard to believe. First quarter's already done.
Already done. The year's flying by. Some great weather so we can get out and golf and
absolutely
enjoy it.
Yep. Well, Kyle, tell us about our guest today.
So, you know, I'm excited. We have, our topic today starting off. So we're going to, I think a lot of people have heard about the challenges with Facebook here. And for those of you that haven't heard, I'm going to bring you up to date and give you a little overview. Cambridge Analytica, the company that worked for Donald Trump on the presidential election, they amassed a ton of data for more than 50 million Facebook users without their consent. Now, I think that alone was alarming. And then what they would do is they'd take that data that was gathered and create hyper-targeted political ads to target voters. And this data included your name, where you live, where you work, how likely you are to vote, what you're interested in, and you know, and the list just went on and on and on. And now they're claiming that Cambridge Analytica wasn't really completely honest about things. A doctor on their team created a personality test that he claimed he would be using for academic research when in fact he was selling that data to the Trump campaign. Now, you know, with all the cyber attacks out there, and really what we want to focus on here is the social media part of this and our personal information that's being shared out there. You know, and with all the cyber attacks and the big breaches, you know, this has really raised a lot of red flags around the world. And I'm really excited that we have a reporter that's very close to this story. He's been covering it since the headline hit, Roop Raj. And so, Roop, tell us a little bit about your thoughts, and certainly excited about having you on today. Tell us a little bit about your thoughts on this.
Well, you know, I think my thoughts, they come in two forms. One, as a Facebook user myself, I was alarmed by the initial report that came out. And upon reporting on this, you learn a lot more about it when you start really taking a close look at what happened here. And when you take a look at what happened here, I think it's very disturbing to know that for so many years now, since Facebook, of course, has been out for so many years, the data that we've been putting out there, we're talking everything from the things that you like, the websites you visit, the things that you enjoy looking at online, all of those things now are basically transparently available to Facebook and to so many others. Now, here's the deal. The Cambridge Analytica breach and the data mining, as it's called, that happened was so bad, so extreme, that we're talking about 50 million people whose data was compromised. What does that mean? Well, that means the things that you like, the political affiliations, the different products that you like looking at, even the websites that you visit, the relationships you have with others, all that now exposed. So I think it was certainly alarming to a lot of people.
It's just amazing. You know, do you think that Facebook, in their current situation, now that they've taken a hit, do you think that they're going to be able to earn back the trust of everyone that uses Facebook, or do you think that that's, you know, really gone away at this point?
You know, I don't think it's completely gone away. I think what you have here is, you really think about the number of people in the world who use Facebook. If you were to break this down in numbers, one out of every five people on the globe, on the face of the earth, have a Facebook account. One out of five. That's crazy. You know, there's people who in inner cities and urban areas and rural areas where perhaps the cell phone coverage isn't even that great in these rural areas, perhaps where there are farming communities, agrarian communities, faraway places away from America that we're not even familiar with. There are people there who have cell phones and they have Facebook on it. So, yes, Facebook is ubiquitous. It's everywhere. Now, here's the issue. As soon as this happened, I don't know if you know this, but the afternoon after this happened, the man in charge of Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, lost $5 billion in net worth that one day. And the reason that happened is because the stock took a hit. But not only did the stock take a hit, and we know that those numbers are temporary. People bounce back, and those are fluid numbers. People's net worth, it bounces depending on what happens. But what really happened that should be alarming to Mark Zuckerberg and all of Facebook staff is the fact that so many people decided to delete their page. In fact, you know what was trending on Twitter the day that all of this news broke about Cambridge Analytica? Hashtag delete Facebook. Mm-hmm. And people are finding a way. I did a whole story on how to delete your Facebook page. And believe it or not, Facebook makes it increasingly difficult, gentlemen, to actually delete the page. There's ways to deactivate it that seem rather easy. But to truly delete your Facebook page, it takes a lot. And so that was trending. And the reason it was trending is because there were millions of people who said, wait a minute here. I don't want my stuff out there. Screw this. Forget this. And they said, I'm taking my page down. And they did. This should also be alarming to Facebook for this reason. Before this Cambridge Analytica breach even happened, before this data mining incident happened, before that even occurred, this has been the first year ever that the number of Facebook new users went down. In other words, it's the first year they didn't see growth and actually saw a decline in some of the key demos. So if you look at trends, you're looking at a scene where millennials, the overwhelming majority of millennials, if you ask them, what do you think of Facebook? They'll say it's an old person thing. Mm-hmm. These millennials are going to start voting. They're going to start getting jobs. They're going to start being, many of them already are going to be the people who have power in the economy. So if they're not going to use it, Facebook's in trouble.
They certainly are. And one of the things that we'll do for our listeners today is we're going to put up on our Facebook page, our OWRS firm Facebook page, we'll put up there the link that'll give you the instructions for how to go in and adjust your privacy settings on Facebook. And Roop, you know, I follow you on Twitter, and I, you know, as soon as you did that, you know, where you showed us how to adjust our settings, I went in there and just adjusted mine to help, you know, cover some of that information so that, you know, other companies out there, you know, they can't see all my preferences and send me specific ads and things. I don't, you know, I'd prefer to protect my information a little bit. Right. So,
and I even saw one deal where a lot of these quizzes, these things like what movie star do you look like or what are you going to look like when you're 80, that all those little games are doing a lot of tracking of information as well.
They are.
So true. You make such a good point. You know, here's the deal. This should be a rule. As someone who uses social media every day, as an anchor and a reporter here in Detroit, which is a large market, we deal with a lot of different demos and people. The one thing I've told everybody is, look, stop taking quizzes online. Stop. Stop immediately.
You're not going to get any smarter.
Right? No. And by the way, just because the bell starts ringing and you see confetti flying on your Facebook page because you answered the questions correctly, doesn't mean you're brilliant. Unless you're on Jeopardy and you just won $100,000, a new car, and a trip to Berlin, you're not the guy.
Right.
Just because Facebook says you're smart doesn't mean you are. And the problem is that people take these quizzes when they're bored, and they're really easy to do. You know, before, you had to go to another site, or maybe, you know, anytime you have to leave a site that you're on, metrics have shown people don't want to do that. So what Facebook has done is, oh, we'll do it all on this page. So you make such a good point about those quizzes. Stop taking quizzes. But I'd also say, keep in mind the other apps you use on your phone. So pick up your smartphone, everyone who's listening to this, and take a look at your home screen. Whether you have a Samsung or an iPhone, look at all of those apps. So now if I really think about it, I have a GPS app. I have a GMC app. Even my car, I can start with my phone. I have Twitter. I have all these other apps. What if I go to Amazon and I start buying stuff? For instance, we're redoing our house right now, and we're buying sconces, lights, you know, chandeliers. Well, Facebook is tapping into the other apps I use so that now it advertises sconces and chandeliers and lighting stuff to me and my wife because it knows I'm on those apps. That shouldn't be comforting. That should be scary to everybody.
It is, you know, and it's funny. You know, my wife and I had a conversation back around Christmas. I asked her, I said, you know, is there a shirt, and I forget the name of the brand, but is there a shirt that you've been shopping online to buy me? Because every time I go to my homepage, msn.com, I keep seeing ads for this shirt, and I've never searched for it. And she said, you're kidding me. Like, she has been searching for it on other on her own, but because social media knows that we're married, it's showing up even on my computer, on my website. And same thing, you know, if she goes to buy like Lululemon pants, you know, and her for yoga, that stuff shows up on my webpage when she goes shopping for it. So this, the social media aspect out there, it is a very, very intelligent, forward-thinking piece that I think it's tied into us a lot more than what we think.
Well, and you're right about that. Both of you have made some really good points. I think the quizzes you take, the clothes you buy. One thing that I'd also say is, and I know you have this on your website. Thank goodness on the OWRS website, you guys have these steps that are listed there. Because, you know, one of the things you got to keep in mind is there's a way to deactivate it. But what's funny is, did you know that when you signed up for Facebook, it signed you up to offer all that information, mm-hmm. whether you have pets, your marriage, your friends. And so the steps that you find on the OWRS website actually say, look, there's a part that says apps you use. There's an actual part that says the words apps you use. And when you go into that, you can actually start unclicking the things that you don't want people to know about you. And once you do that, hopefully your privacy will be more protected.
Well, and Scott, I know you don't care. You're just an open book, right? You don't care what anyone knows about you.
Well, I tell you what, it's amazing, you know. And we do we also do this show through the week, Rube, and then on Saturdays we do a show called Sportsman of Colorado, and it's a show about the outdoors, hunting, fishing, and all the different things there.
Sure.
And so, you know, all the different, and you know, we even got in this conversation over the weekend. The guy that hosted my show for me Saturday when I was out about. Even the terminology we use, the different things in the outdoors of whether you harvested an animal or killed an animal, all the different things and all the feedback and backlash you get from the anti-hunting crowd. But like you say, I think we would all be scared to death if we knew what information was out there available for a lot of these, you know, companies, cyber attacks and all the people that could, you know, really do us damage. And it really hurts a lot of seniors. Are also on Facebook, and that's some things that we do is we try to warn seniors about different things on Facebook too, because boy, you talk about a group that's easily scammed is seniors.
Yeah.
Yep.
So true. That's a really good point. And Kyle, I think, you know, please keep directing people to those tips that you have on your website. And the reason I think that's so important is because, look, you and I can go and maybe unclick on a bunch of that stuff, but if you know someone who's elderly in your life that you care about, that you love, you know, it may not be a bad idea to do a little coffee day, meet them over at the local coffee shop or the diner and say, bring your laptop and bring your phone, grandpa or grandma or, mm-hmm. you know, aunt or uncle or friend, and let's sit down and, you know, once you learn it, spread the wealth, you know, help people out. Teach people who don't understand how to do it, because some of that stuff's intuitive to you guys. And I know both of you are young and hip.
Yeah. I'm glad he can't see me, Kyle. Yeah.
But I think it's important that we help other people. There are people in their 80s and 90s who are too proud to ask for help. Why
sure.
should they be getting scammed just because they're too proud to ask for
help? Yep. Now, I'd love to go grab a cup of coffee with my grandfather and help him do that, because I know it takes him 10 minutes to send a text that just says, hello, you know, so,
right.
Yeah. So for him to figure this out, you know, it's certainly something I can do. And I did this, Rupe, and I really appreciate you sending out the link, originally, and we've posted that now, you know, it only took me 2 or 3 minutes to go in there and fix it. So it is a quick fix. It is Good. Something you can adjust. So it only takes a minute to do. And
that's all it takes. And
yep.
It'll save you a world of trouble.
It absolutely will. It absolutely will. So Rupe, I really appreciate you having you on today, and appreciate your time and your insight in all this and all you've done to help us to help protect us from the social media information that's out there a little bit, that's gathering all the information on us. So I appreciate your insight and look forward to talking to you again soon.
We'll be talking soon. Good talking to both of you gentlemen, and have a blessed day. We'll see you around.
All right, you as well. That's Rupe Raj, and we appreciate him being with us today. Once again, Kyle O'Dell is with us. We got to take a short break, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Affordable Interest Mortgage has been your personal mortgage broker serving Coloradans since 2001. Take aim. If you're tired of being forgotten, disrespected, and not listened to when applying for a mortgage, or do you feel like you just talked to a call center and you never get the same person twice? Take aim. 720-895-0500. Our rates are still great, with loans designed to fit what you want, not the bank. Experienced professional loan officers to expedite the process and close quickly. We offer paperless applications, or we will come to you. View your loan status 24/7 and get rid of high-cost mortgage insurance or credit card debt to save hundreds now. Take aim, 720-895-0500. Many of our clients are saving thousands in excess mortgage payments, owning their home faster, all without changing their spending habits. Call now to start saving big. 720-895-0500. Talk with the same loan officer from start to finish. Where it is, all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DOR, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
Hi, this is Scott Watley. Now, many times you hear your radio host like me say something like, "Let me tell you about my friends at," then we'll talk about a sponsor that we truly believe in and endorse. Well, in this case, let me tell you about a company that really is part of my family, Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center. For over 13 years, we have trusted our furry family members to this wonderful staff. At Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, they believe that all pets deserve to have a good life, and their goal is to help you keep your pets happy and healthy throughout their life by providing complete pet care services every day, all at one location. We love the Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center boarding lodge, and your pet will too. Your pet will receive one-on-one care and attention throughout their stay. Open 7 days a week for your convenience. Check them out. Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, located at 8681 Lincoln Avenue in Lone Tree. 303-708-8050. 303-708-8050. Or check them out online at lonetreevet.com.
I was hurt in a car accident. The bills were piling up and my insurance company was giving me the runaround. I didn't know what to do, but then I called a lawyer I saw on TV. That lawyer had all the tools and the knowledge to get me 1.2 mil...
Whoa. When you're hurt in an accident, you need Kevin Flesh of Flesh Law, a lawyer that's going to take your case seriously and not treat you like some get-rich-quick scheme. Serious car accidents are traumatic and can completely disrupt your life. Kevin Flesh has the integrity to help you get your life back on track. He will fight for you to get what you deserve, but he won't treat you like a lottery ticket. After you've been in an accident, call Kevin Flesh of Flesh Law at 303-806-8886 and make sure you will get someone who will do the right thing and get your life back.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio, a special edition of Money Beliefs versus Money Realities with Kyle Odell, OWRS Firm. For free consultation, Kyle is kind enough to offer that for us, 303-780-7350, 303-780-7350. Boy, Kyle, I know Rupe didn't have long to stay with us there, but, man, we could talk a lot about this social media aspect and just, you know, scams and different ways to protect yourself because, like I say, you start looking for something, you go by certain stores, ad pops up, you're like, how'd they know I was here? I mean, they know everywhere you are.
It's amazing. I really do end up with things on my, you know, my homepage of my computer that my wife is shopping for. It's amazing how tied in, you know, all that is. So we'll make sure that on our Facebook page and our OWRS firm homepage today that we get that link.
We'll put it on Haystack Help Radio page too.
Yeah, we'll get that link up here this afternoon. Give us an hour or so when I get back to the office. We'll get that link up there and make sure it's up. So that way, if you want to, you know, help protect yourself a little bit so that the social media doesn't understand or isn't looking at you quite as much and seeing what you're doing and what your preferences are and everything. So, you know, but with all that, you know, we look at the market today, the market's getting hammered pretty good today. You know, and Facebook started off, you know, it's over a 2% decline today. It's been hammered pretty hard with things. And so, you know, and with that, you know, what I always, you know, look at with clients is, you know, it should be a long-term play that, you know, when you look at the market, if we go back over approximately the last 60 to 70 years, typically once a year, Scott, the market's going to drop by 10%. Mm-hmm. That's going to happen usually once a year on average. And so we've seen that this year where the market has taken that drop. It's been more volatile than usual. So I know it's a little tough sometimes for families to stomach some of that. But that's where, you know, as a company, you know, our approach, our philosophy on money is that, you know, every client's a little bit different, and we don't have, you know, just a cookie cutter set of portfolios right. that we offer. You know, we truly do work to customize that and figure out what does the client really, really want and what are you okay with in terms of risk and performance and so forth. But part of that is to, you know, when the market really takes those big drops, and by big drops, I mean more than 10% and so forth, you know, no one's going to see the little ups and downs of the market every day. You know, if you asked, you know, half of Wall Street, you know, yesterday on Sunday, you know, hey, what's the stock market going to do today? Half of them would probably say, hey, well, we think it's going to be up because it was up last Thursday, the last day of the market. And half would probably say, well, you know, it may be down. So, you know, the day-to-day fluctuations of the market, no one truly knows what's going to happen there. And to try and time it or whatever, you know, that's extremely difficult. So our approach on the market is really to look at a couple different avenues. One is to have more of a long-term approach. But along with that, if we're going to be in the market, we do take a defensive approach. It's called tactical money management, that if the market is taking one of those big drops, that, you know, our focus is to get you out of the market and put you in a safer place to help preserve those assets. You know, and so at times we're going to do that. We've done that, you know, for example, with some of our money managers, we've done that 2, 3, 4, 5 different times. If we go back to 2008, it's not something we're doing week in and week out or month in and month out. You know, then we might go a couple years where we don't move out of the market, you know, right. to help preserve those assets. But what we're simply working to do there is to avoid the big drops. And then we have other asset classes that we use where we really don't have any downside if the market drops. You know, very simply there, and I'll give you a simple example. You know, if we look at, if I said, Scott, I've got a hammer, is that good or bad?
I guess it depends.
It depends. That's the perfect answer. And we did not script this out before.
No, absolutely not.
We did not. Yeah. Nope. It depends. That's the exact answer. So if I said, Scott, I'm going to take this hammer and I'm going to go out my front yard and I'm going to chop down a tree that's in my front yard. Now, is it good or bad?
Yeah, bad choice.
Probably bad choice, right? Well, if I said, well, Scott, you know what? A hammer is just a tool, right? So if I went in my garage and maybe I went and got a saw, well, I could certainly use a saw, but maybe I read some things online and it said that, you know, I could hurt my back if I used a saw. So I'm not going to use a saw, mm-hmm. right? And if I said, well, you know, I could also maybe use a chainsaw. Well, maybe I've Googled some things on a chainsaw and saw that, you know, I could hurt myself.
Yeah, you could chop your leg off
I had a friend in college that,
I've seen that.
It bounced back and hit him in the chest, and he had a heck of a scar there, you know? So all those are tools. What are we trying to accomplish? Well, depending on what we're trying to accomplish, we're going to need a certain set of tools, okay? So one piece that I'm going to talk about here for a moment is an annuity. Well, an annuity is simply a tool. The question is, what are you trying to accomplish? Well, an annuity can be used for a couple different reasons, a couple different ways, just like a hammer can be used different ways. I can put a nail into a wall. I can also take a nail out of a wall. Mm-hmm. Most people use annuities, and most times advisors, where I see problems in our industry, is that sometimes you go sit down and talk with an advisor, and every family comes in their office, they may try and offer the same product and the same annuity. And I think that that's an issue. And that's where I think the Department of Labor trying to get everyone to fall under a fiduciary standard, I think a lot of it came from that. But when we're looking at an annuity, it can be used for a number of different purposes and number of different ways. And all it is simply a tool. One of the ways that you can use it is to strip out all the features that make it an annuity, where you're not able to annuitize it. We're simply just looking for a safe place to park money against market risk, where we're trying to safeguard our cash. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times with that, we can get those costs down in that annuity down from sometimes zero to 1%, somewhere in that range. So we're not paying any high fees, but we're simply looking for a safe place to park money. I have some clients that come in my office that say, Scott, you know, hey, I'm okay with the market. I'm okay with the fluctuations. Just do your best, Kyle, to help safeguard my assets from those big market drops. Right. Great, we'll do that. I have other clients that come in and say, Kyle, you know, if I even hear the word stock market, I might turn green. I can't handle it. Mm-hmm. I don't want any fluctuations, any loss. Great, then maybe we need to look at that safer side with an insurance product. But a lot of our clients look at both,
right?
A mixture of both. And my job, I don't try and steer you in any way, you know, looking at either one. My job is to make sure you don't make a poor choice, that we don't make a mistake.
Sure.
My job is to deliver a plan, an outcome that you're looking for. And so, you know, if I have a client today that's looking at it and saying, okay, let's say we just have a 50-50 allocation, 50% over in the market, and we're, you know, using indexes like the S&P, and we have 50% in a in an insurance type product where we're safeguarded from market losses. Well, if let's say that overall the market, just hypothetically, let's say it's down 2.5% today. Well, our portfolio is not going to be down 2.5%. Maybe half of that portfolio, maybe down 1.25%. Mm-hmm. The other half is safeguarded against the market, so we just don't have that risk. So we always take defensive measures and work to figure out how can we help you to safeguard that money, but yet we don't want to give up that upside. And I think a couple of assumptions that a lot of families make when it comes to an annuity is, one is, well, there are a lot of fees involved. That's one. Well, two, along with that, I would say that we can strip a lot of those out and bring that down to between 0% and 1%.
Right.
The other is that I'm capped as to what rate of return I can make. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, maybe 2%, 3%, 4%, 5%. Well, there are products out there that don't have caps, where you can capture that upside of the market and have potentially do well in years. And there are certainly some track records out there that show that for sure without any downside. And so, you know, I think what I always ask people to do, have an open mind. Let's sit down, have a cup of coffee, and just sure. have a discussion and see where you're at right now. And can we improve upon it? If so, great. Let's continue that conversation. If not, you know, I've got to tell you to stay where you're at and keep mm-hmm. doing what you're doing.
And, you know, I think a lot of times, too, when I just think about, you know, a couple of years now doing shows with you, I hear the word protect from you mm-hmm. way more, you know, than I hear the word about, you know, growth and making a lot of money. But mm-hmm. and I think that's the mindset of people today, too, that, man, they want protection and just don't want to lose what they've got. Making money is great. Don't get me wrong.
But, man,
losing money, that's a tough phone call.
It is. You know, and I tell you, you know, Warren Buffett, I think he's got it right. He has two rules with Berkshire Hathaway. Rule number one with our company, don't lose money. Rule number two, don't forget rule number one. So, you know, when it comes to investing, I think, you know, if over the years I ask families, you know, if you look back over the years, what are the two or three worst financial mistakes you made? Was it 2008? Was it making a poor investment? Was it picking a stock that didn't work out? Whatever that may be, if you could eliminate those two or three worst choices,
right,
the bad ones that you've made, where would you be today? Right? So if we can work to avoid those big losses, that's going to put you in a position where we don't have to go hit those home runs on the rate of return on the growth side. Even though I'll sit down, you know, and look on the growth side, you know, with what we do, I'll compare that with just about anything. We've done very well on that. But I think the key is that, number one, we work to safeguard that money from those big losses in the market. And, you know, if we're looking to do that, you know, that's going to give us a better chance to create that desired outcome that we want for the long run, whether that's to make sure that we don't run out of money, that we've got that financial security, or we can pass money on to kids. There are a lot of, you know, great things that can come out of that when we work to avoid those big losses.
Sure. About a minute left. You know, when we talk about second opinion, most of the time our mind, if I just said, what's the word you think about when you talk about second opinion, most of us think of medical.
Right.
Doctor.
Yep.
Man, why don't people tend to get it more when it comes to their finances? You got one chance at this too, really.
I think most do want to.
Yeah.
I think most do want to, you know, we always think, well, I'll get a second opinion on my health. I'll make sure that my will and trust is in place. I'm going to make sure I have enough life insurance. I'm going to make sure I have a financial plan. We all want those things, but we also think that I can do it tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I can do it tomorrow because, you know, I'm busy.
Yeah.
We're always busy.
And there's going to be time.
The timing, timing is never right, you know? So I think it's one of those things that, you know, let's carve out an hour of your time, sit down, have a cup of coffee, and just see where that takes us.
Absolutely. OWRS firm, give Kyle a call. 303-780-7350. Just mention you heard him here on Haystack Help Radio, and be a free consultation, and whether that be for the first-time visit or just second opinion, Kyle will be glad to help you out. And again, we'll get this link about what we were talking about in our first segment today about Facebook and some tips to help you out there with some protection as well. We'll get that on our Haystack Help Radio page as well. Kyle, thank you very much, sir.
Thanks, Scott.
You're listening to Haystack Help Radio right here on KLZ 560. We'll be right back.
Littleton Heating and Air Conditioning is proud of their 45 years of HVAC service to Littleton, Highlands Ranch, and Denver metro area. Littleton Heating and Air Conditioning is your Lennox and Carrier expert heating and air conditioning contractor. They are proud to offer the finest heating, air conditioning, and indoor air quality products with prompt and professional customer service and satisfaction. Call today and mention Haystack Help Radio and save $25 off any repairs or $100 off your furnace installation. Call 303-798-3880. That's 303-798-3880 for your appointment today. Littleton Heating and Air, A-plus members of the Better Business Bureau and official Haystack Help registered company.
If you're looking for great deals on outdoor equipment and clothing, we've got you covered. Hi, this is Bill Paddock, owner of the Outdoorsman's Attic, your outdoor gear consignment headquarters. You'll save 20, 30, 40, even 50% on previously owned outdoor gear for the fisherman, hunter, and camper. We also sell live bait, firearms, and ammo. If you're doing a little spring cleaning, bring in your gear to the Outdoorsman's Attic. We'll sell it for you and put cash in your pocket. You can also pick up your hunting and fishing licenses right here at the store. Your one-stop shop for all your outdoor gear needs is the Outdoorsman's Attic, located at 2650 West Hampton Avenue in Sheridan, Colorado. 303-781-3626. That's 303-781-3626. Or visit us online at outdoorsmansattic.com. Mention Sportsman's of Colorado and receive 20% off all your outdoor clothing.
What could you do with an extra $500, $1,000, or even $1,500 per month? How would that change things for you? Would you buy a new car, pay off bills, or just feel a bit more secure about your retirement? What if I told you there's a way to make your dreams a reality? I'm talking about trading and investing in the market. Now, before you say, oh, that's not for me, just hear me out. I want to invite you to a half-day trading course so you can check this out. I promise you, you'll go away smarter than when you came in. We here at Online Trading Academy sponsor this, and we'll even send you home with a free home study video guide. Your money's doing nothing for you in a CD or mutual fund. Learn how to profit when the market's up or down. Call us now while seats are still available at 303-325-2776. Use offer code RADIO50. 303-325-2776. That's 303-325-2776.
Tired of walking into your local gun store and seeing the same old thing? Hey, let me tell you about Rampart Firearms. You'll find a great selection of guns, ammo, tactical, and personal defense weapons. Rampart Firearms is also a great stop for all of your hunting and shooting needs. Shotgun, rifle, or pistol. From predator hunting to your next big game trip, Rampart Firearms is located in Douglas County at the foot of the Rockies, just a quarter mile up Highway 67 off of Santa Fe in Sedalia. They're open Monday through Saturday, 10 to 7, and hey, you'll only pay 4% tax on your purchase. Rampart Firearms, 720-468-0050. That's 720-468-0050. Or visit them at rampartfirearms.com.
Denver's Afternoon Rush. Rush to Reason is coming up at 3. Now, back to Haystack Help Radio.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio. Marie Christine joins us now as well. How are you?
Good. Glad to be here.
Great to see you. I was telling Kyle in our first segment there, hard to believe it's April already.
Right? Did you play any pranks on anybody yesterday?
No, I didn't. I don't know. It's kind of weird it being on Easter, too.
Right. It's a holy day. Yeah, you want to be respectful.
Exactly. But other than that, I would have had a blast. Dr. Shane Stedman joins us now. Integrated Health Centers, integratedhealthdenver.com. Doc, how are you?
I'm good. Can you guys hear me?
We can hear you perfectly now, sir. Did you have a good weekend?
All right.
A good Easter?
I did.
Good.
I did. You guys did?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Everything went well. Thank you. You know, we've been talking last month a lot about concussions and different things there. And, boy, I think this is a huge topic, what we're going to talk about here for a few shows. And because I think all of us in our life either know someone that's affected by this or it's in our families. And that has to deal with our dementia, Alzheimer's, just memory, all of that. So, boy, just a large topic in a lot of ways to go here. But just... what do you see in your practice? You know, I think a lot of times we think of this as just, you know, an age thing and a senior thing, but I'm telling you, I don't think that's the case. I think it can happen at any age.
It can definitely happen at any age. You know, a personal experience, I have a family member on my wife's side that she is 65 years old and she's in a memory care facility. So it can happen at any age. And that was, you know, so this started when she was probably about 60, and now she's the youngest person in her facility. So, you know, super sad, but sure, it can happen to anybody. And I think kind of bringing some awareness of what people need to do and what they need to look for. And then, you know, what can you do? You know, if you kind of get stuck in this, you know, on the bad side of things, or most often it actually impacts the caregivers. You know, so usually it's the spouse bringing in the affected member of the family, or, you know, I think a couple of weeks ago we had three sisters that brought their mom in, you know, and they all were like, "Mom, you need help," you know, and it was almost like an intervention. So, you know, it can happen to anybody, and it's not only hard on the person that's going through it, but it's hard on the family and the caregivers and kids and spouses, and
sure,
it's a nasty, nasty one.
So what would you say, Dr. Stedman, are part of the normal, what symptoms are part of the normal aging process, whereas some symptoms that might be a red flag, oh, you might have something more serious going on?
You know, there's definitely some things to look out for early on, and there's almost kind of like the warning signs, you know, and a lot of it's, I'll give you three big ones, and this is good for people to always keep an eye on. One of them is obviously your memory. So when you see that short-term memory taking place, as we talk through this over the month, I can even give you those personal examples that I've seen. But, you know, so with the family member, you know, we even saw her for Easter yesterday, and, you know, she remembers, she was talking about when they're kids and where she lived, and that long-term memory is preserved. But, like, she has no idea what we talked about last week. She kept kind of repeating herself over and over again, like it was the first time that she told us the story. You know, and everything that's more recent, you start to see that short-term memory going away. Mm-hmm. So that becomes super scary. And then what happens, it'll eventually go into long-term. So number one thing to look out for is short-term memory.
And that might be something that the person themselves might not notice, right? Maybe it's the family members that start to pick up on, oh, grandma's telling those same stories over and over. She doesn't remember what we talked about.
Yeah, it is almost always the family. And even when we had, you know, the three daughters came in with their mom, you know, they kept reminding her, "Mom, you did this." And she's like, "I did." And like, "Mom, and you did this, and you did this." And she's like, "No, I didn't." And like, "Yeah, and you said this, and you told us again." You know, so like they almost become your short-term memory. And so they don't have any recollection of it, because it's almost like somebody just took a dry erase board and just wiped it clean. And they're like, "Oh, I did that?" So usually it's the family that needs to be aware of it.
So this would really be something then of what you're talking about, that if you start noticing the memory loss that disrupts kind of the daily life, the daily things they're going through, that's when to seek help.
That's when you want to get started. You know, when you kind of go, what's mom doing? That's kind of weird. When you start thinking those things, that's the early intervention is going to be helpful. The number two thing that you want to look out for is a loss of smell. And the reason why is because your smell and your memory centers are really close together. So when you start losing one, you'll lose the other. And some of the earliest signs of Alzheimer's and Parkinson's and some of these neurodegenerative disorders is a loss of smell.
Wow. I have never heard that before. So you're saying the part of your brain that helps you smell is similar to the part of your brain that helps you remember things?
Yeah. So have you ever been in a situation where you smelled something and it triggered a memory?
Yes. Yeah, I think we all have.
I mean, it happens to all of us. All of us. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you might smell apple pie. You're like, oh, I remember when Grandma made apple pie? Oh, that was so great. And then we go on the swings, and we go play down by the creek, you know, and all of a sudden your smell brings you into it, or you smell somebody's perfume. You're like, oh, that reminds me of my ex, and oh, yeah, we had a great time together. You know, it's all those little things, but that smell will trigger a memory response. And even some people are so in tune with their memory, they can sometimes even smell. You know, they're like, oh, I can almost smell the apple pie that was cooking. It was so amazing. You know, so those two things are linked in pretty tight.
Now that you say that, I associate certain smells with certain people. And when my grandma passed away, I had some of her old clothes that I would keep in my closet, because if I smelled them, it reminded me of my grandma. But I never even thought about that before.
Yeah. Yep. So when somebody just doesn't smell anything anymore, that's an early, early, early sign. And I've had patients, you know, that we've talked about this, and, you know, they haven't had smell for like 10, 20 years before, you know, the onset of the symptoms came along. So that's number two. And I say number three is constipation, which a lot of people, you know, they're not going to go telling everybody else, like, oh, I'm constipated. But when the brain starts to change, there's a brain-gut axis or brain-gut connection. And that brain-gut connection goes through what's called the vagus nerve. And so when you start to lose brain function, you start to lose stimulation through that vagus nerve and to your digestion. And so, and this is not like, oh, I had constipation last week. It's, I've had constipation for the last 5 years or 10 years, and nothing seems to help. So when you start seeing that constipation that's chronic, you see a loss of smell, and then all of a sudden you start losing that short-term memory, those are like some of your three big warning signs to get help fast.
Wow, it just seems so important to listen to the signals your body is giving you, even something you would have no idea it was connected. And, you know, Dr. Stedman, my aunt is a survivor of ovarian cancer, and one of the symptoms that she ignored for a long time was constipation, and that was a sign that she had ovarian cancer. So I would say to somebody listening, if something's changed with your body, get it checked out. Go to see Dr. Stedman, because it's worth figuring out if something is seriously wrong.
It is always easier to catch something early. And we talk about this on the show all the time, you know, whether it be concussions or diabetes or migraines or childhood disorders. It's always easier to catch it early than to try to fix something that's been set in stone for like 10, 20 years. You know, so if those three things are popping up and you're like, geez, mom's kind of repeating herself often, that's a little bizarre. You know, or grandpa seems a little bit off, like he used to be really sharp, and now he's kind of repeating himself. He said the same thing to me three times last week. Then you're like, uh-oh, red flag. So it's like, let's go get it checked, because it's easier to fix, or at least it's easier to help the patient way early.
So the next big question I think of is, let's say somebody does catch it early. They notice these symptoms. They call Integrated Health Systems. Is there a way to either slow the process or stop it altogether if you catch it early?
There's absolutely things that you can do to slow the process. You know, and that's, and I think when people are looking, obviously, you know, say come to me, but I think when people are looking for a practitioner or looking for a doctor, you want a doctor that's really involved in trying to understand all the different things that influence how the brain works. You know, and they can range from anything. I mean, it can be stress. It can be alcohol. If you just look at all the different types of dementias, there's literally like a list of different types of dementias. And I think what you're seeing out there in over the years now is that, you know, people say, oh, I have dementia, but they're not going after, well, what kind of dementia or what the cause of the dementia is. So to give people out there, you know, a couple examples, there's Alzheimer's is the traditional dementia everybody's used to. And then there's hypothyroid dementia. There's B6 dementia. There's alcohol-induced dementia. So there's different types of dementias that can come on. And basically, it's something in your body that's making your brain start to degenerate faster than what we need it to be.
So is the word dementia kind of a catch-all for a lot of different specific diseases?
Yeah, so dementia is a category
okay.
of basically, and kind of, to give everybody an idea. So dementia is when you have, it usually starts in the temporal lobe. So the temporal lobe is kind of on the side of your head. So people who are driving listen to radio. So if you kind of like your temple area, that's your temporal lobe right in that area. And that's where your short-term memory lives. And that's where your smell, like you, when you smell something, that's where that lives. And then even like your emotions and things like that are in there too. That information then gets transported to the frontal lobe, so the front part of your brain, and it actually goes through a circuit. And so when people have dementias, they're most commonly referred to as like a temporal frontal dementia. So it always starts in the temporal lobe, and then the degeneration progresses towards the front. And that's why it always goes from short term to long term.
So is there sort of a connection between those two parts of the brain that starts to degrade over time? Is that how it works?
Yeah, so there's actually a circuit. It's called a Papez circuit. So that's what it is in neurology. And that circuit is actually what helps you store short-term to long-term.
It's like our computer database in our head.
Absolutely. Yeah, so you do things and then there's a long-term piece to it. So, you know, I've been on the show for, a year. So you probably remember things that we talked about last year, but even though we talked about them one time, if it was relevant or kind of made you go, wow, that's kind of cool, then you shoved it into your long-term memory. So if I said, hey, what did we talk about with, kids last year? You might say, hey, we talked about X, Y, and Z, because you at that time you went from short-term to long-term through that Papez circuit. But people with dementias, that circuitry starts to break down. And so now they can't go from short-term to long-term. So it's like short-term, dry erase, short-term, dry erase, short-term, dry erase, and nothing ever gets into long-term. So you can say, oh, yeah, we went here last week. And you're like, we did? Because I don't remember it.
Man, I do that all the time. it's so weird. And real quick, we got to take a break. But real quick, Victoria, she can go, all right, go to the store, get these three things. I can get to the store. Dude, I remember two of them. But I can tell you high school football scores, or stuff that happened here. Or I can remember a million things about things that I really want to remember, I guess, But it's like, what is that third thing? I mean, it's just like, ugh, it just kills you. We could do another show just on guys' memory. Yeah. You're listening to Haystack Help Radio. Marie Christine is with me. Dr. Shane Stedman as well. Integrated Health Systems, integratedhealthdenver.com, 303-781-5617. We'll come back. We're going to talk a little bit more about knowing the signs of early detection, hear about our memory, dementia. We'll be right back.
Don't fall for gimmick ads when choosing your insurance coverage. Group Insurance Analyst has been Colorado's insurance superstore since 1984, where customers can compare and shop for all of their insurance needs. At GIA Insurance, their brokers have no allegiance to any particular health, auto, or home insurance company. Take advantage of their experience, expertise, and exceptional client service. For your free quote, call today at 303-423-0162. That's 303-423-0162. Visit their website, e-gia.com, or stop by their office at 44th and Garrison Street in Wheat Ridge. Group Insurance Analyst is an official Haystack Help registered company.
Hi, this is Scott Watley. Let me tell you what I love about Stack Optical. They are truly one of the last optician-owned, family-owned optical stores. At Stack Optical, you can be confident you'll receive personal attention. For over 50 years, Alan Stack has shown he really cares about making his customers happy. Stack Optical also has a beautiful new location at 2233 South Monaco Parkway in Denver. Free and easy up-close parking. Stack Optical has an on-site eyeglass production lab. Whether you need office eyewear or a new set of shooting or golf glasses, Stack Optical has the solution with the Stack Sport Pack. Give them a call today and ask for their $69 eye exam, 303-321-1578. That's 303-321-1578. Your eyes and vision are one of the most important things in life. I'm confident at Stack Optical, you'll see the difference. That's 303-321-1578, stackoptical.com.
When should I begin Social Security so that I can maximize my benefits? Have you been wondering what is right for your retirement planning? Dot Mechtenberg offers a free consultation. Don't make a mistake. Call Dot today at 303-940-7807. That's 303-940-7807. Or visit dotmechtenberg.com. Securities and advisory services offered through Genios Wealth Management Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
And we are back. You're listening to Haystack Help Radio. If you're just joining us, my name is Scott Wadley, along with Marie Christine. Dr. Shane Steadman is our guest. Once again, that number for free consultation, 303-781-5617. You can check out their website at integratedhealthdenver.com.
Dr. Steadman, we're talking about early detection and early prevention of different kinds of dementia. So, question for you, when somebody starts noticing these symptoms, would you say it's important for them to go see different kind of doctors, like maybe somebody like you with the integrated health and wellness side and kind of a more traditional doctor?
So, you know, that's a great question. Early on, I'm very biased, obviously, because
right.
of my office.
So
early on, I'm always a fan of trying things that are more holistic and natural because, you know, we can talk, and I think even next week we can go into, like, the different things to do and, you know, as far as diet and inflammation and things like that. But those are simple things to work on. You know, if somebody has, you know, alcohol dementia, sometimes it's nice to say, hey, stop drinking. Go see a counselor. You know, let's do some things to get your blood sugar stable and, you know, get your inflammation down. Let's work on your brain, you know, but you need to stop drinking. Mm. You know, a lot of times it can be associated with, you know, diabetes. You know, so if you're working on somebody that has diabetes, they're probably already being managed with medications. But if you can work on their diet and lifestyle and get them exercising, you know, that could be huge. So I think anytime you can, you know, try a conservative approach, I think those are, you know, always a really good start, you know, and then, you know, in our office, if there is that need for medical intervention, then I'm all for it. You know, it's like, let's get some stuff into you. But early on, there can be some really cool things to do. Now, when you get into later stages, I think medical intervention could be helpful, but I've seen a lot of patients, you know, over the years with Alzheimer's and dementia, and, you know, we actually get a lot of patients that have been down kind of at the traditional route. And there are some medications that can be very helpful for that, but you still got to do rehab and you still got to make that brain stronger and you still got to work on inflammation and getting fats in your body. And there's a bunch of things that you got to do still, like just being on medications isn't the only answer. And so I think it's always a mixture of both. And if it's early on, then I think trying something that's more of that holistic approach is always worth a start, so you don't have to go on medications.
And if there's anything I've learned from you, Dr. Steadman, it's that everything in your body is connected. And something you have to offer is that focus on the brain and the body and how they work together. So step one, for somebody who's noticing these symptoms, call Integrated Health Systems, 303-781-5617. See if there's anything that you can do for your body naturally to help stop this aging memory loss process.
You couldn't have said it better yourself, could you there, Dr. Steadman?
Yeah. Perfect.
You know, so to make sure we understand, you know, I had kind of always thought of dementia really as a disease, but I was reading a few things for the show, so see if you agree with this, and here's one quote. It said, dementia is not a disease. It's a general term that describes a set of symptoms that may be caused by a number of different brain disorders.
Yes, and that's why it's kind of more of almost like a category,
right?
You know, so you can have, you know, Alzheimer's is a dementia, Parkinson's is actually considered a dementia, or can be considered a dementia. So it's a list of kind of signs and symptoms that they kind of put people into a category, you know, and say, okay, this is very similar to that. But it was really fascinating, even when you're trying to diagnose somebody, and we've seen this personally, that it actually almost takes a lot to diagnose because you're looking for like these patterns over time. Like, are they doing this? Okay, now are they doing this? And so you get enough of those patterns and they go, yeah, I think you have dementia. So let's try these medications. You know, and if that doesn't work and the person's still progressing, then, you know, then they'll find some resources to help you, like, you know, with assisted living or, you know, family members and whatnot. So it's a really, it's an interesting one, you know, when you kind of research on it.
Right. Couple minutes left. I just want to hit a topic a little bit as we talk about dealing with probably in most part, you know, seniors with this a little bit, even though, as we talked about in the first segment, it could be any age. But at what point do you see people needing to talk to people about driving, you know, when they have these problems, they don't know where they are, don't know how to get back home, all the different things? Because, man, I've talked to several friends, and, boy, they said, you want a battle on your hands. Try to take the keys away from your parents, you know, or a grandparent,
yeah,
and tell them they can't drive anymore. But do you see that struggle with some of your patients that you're like, man, I need to tell these family members, they got no business being on the road?
Yeah, you know, we saw that personally, and I think that was tough because we kind of, you know, we took the vehicle away, and even yesterday I was, you know, driving the family member back to her facility, and, you know, she's like, if I had a car, I can go anywhere I wanted, and, you know, around Denver. And I'm like, yeah, no, you're good. Like, that's what I'm here for.
Right.
And then a couple of weeks ago when we had that family come out with the three daughters, she still drives, you know, and she does really well, but they've noticed, like, there's every once in a while she'll get lost. And it's not even like she didn't get lost for a long period of time, but it's, you know, if you're used to somebody getting from point A to point B in 5 minutes and now it's taking like 10 minutes,
mm-hmm,
you know, they're kind of like, we're starting to get a little bit nervous. And so, you know, that we're kind of having that conversation with that family where it's like, well, she's not in harm of herself or others, but she's like, she took a left instead of a right. So she got back on track, but she's driven that route, you know, for the past 20, 30, 40 years. So why all of a sudden does she take a left?
Right.
You know, and of course she says, well, I just made a mistake, you know, and they're like, yeah, but you've done that like three times now, you know, so it is this little struggle because it's sometimes that last piece of independence and all of a sudden you're taking away that last piece and,
yep,
you know, they'll fight you for it. And I get it, but when they become a danger to self or others, mm-hmm, then that's when you gotta take over.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Dr. Stedman, great information. We'll look forward to this topic all throughout the month. But again, if you'd like to call Dr. Stedman's office and get a consultation, maybe you are that caregiver. And I'm going to tell you, yeah, I know it's a lot of strain on family members and caregivers. And if you need help, this is the place, 303-781-5617. Again, that website is integratedhealthdenver.com. Dr. Stedman, thank you so much, sir.
Thanks, you guys.
All right. Have a great week. Marie, thank you as well.
Thank you, Scott.
And most of all, thank you for joining us today for Haystack Help Radio. Be sure and check out our website, haystackhelp.com. And our helpline is always there for you, 303-333-HELP, 303-333-4357. Have a great day and leave it right here on KLZ 560.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker. KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.